Most of us, and it's Dr. Mike.
Working on a technical standard for assessing hydrology in wetland restoration sites. To begin, I want to recognize a co-author, Thomas Privett, who I added late to the program, but he's also here in the audience. Today, I'm going to basically answer this question. Do these sites have wetland hydrology? They're restored and created wetlands. And to know that, I want to go over four different topics today. I'll review first the current status of wetland hydrology evaluation in North Carolina, then move into a proposed wetland hydrology standard. After that, show how rainfall data should be evaluated and used to apply the standard, and then lastly, talk about testing this proposal. Well, who oversees wetland restoration in North Carolina? It's a state agency that's part of the Department of Natural Resources called the Ecosystem Enhancement Program, EEP. It offers four mitigation programs to assist both public and private groups comply with compensatory mitigation requirements, specifically for wetlands. This group collects money, and it takes money from people that need to restore wetlands and then can use it to either buy mitigation credits directly or hire a contractor to build or to restore a wetland directly. Now, why is there a problem? Well, it's a political agency to a certain extent, and they're getting bad press, okay? They don't like that. The quality, and the reason that it's bad press is they've got budgets of over, well, several hundred million dollars to spend on wetland restoration, and some of the projects aren't turning out too good. A lot of variability in the success rate. The main problem seemed to be that wetland hydrology was not being restored adequately at all the sites, and part of the problem was they had no way of assessing hydrology easily. A new standard was needed, and so that's the job they gave to a group of us, to come up with something. They assembled a team of experts, so-called, to develop a new standard, and they gave us the fancy name, a science advisory panel. And yes, I know the abbreviation is SAP. Okay. Now let's talk about what a wetland hydrology standard would need. You have to specify, you are obviously dealing with saturation, so you have to specify a critical depth range for saturation, and this usually has to be during the growing season. You need a minimum duration of saturation. How long do you want the water table to be high? You also need a saturation frequency. How often should that saturation requirement be met? Every year, every other year, or what? And in my opinion, you need to measure rainfall. If you're going to measure water table levels, you better measure rainfall. Now, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The Corps of Engineers in 2005 came up with a hydrology standard, and I'll review that here. It's primarily, though, for the wetland edge. It requires that the water table be within 30 centimeters of the surface for 14 days or more during the growing season, at a minimum frequency of 5 years in 10. Short-term monitoring data can be used, if you don't have 10 years of data, to look at if the normality of the rainfall is considered. Okay, they have all the components necessary here, but we are a bit concerned about the duration of saturation being only 14 days. That's adequate for the edge. We're not too sure that's adequate for the middle. So we went back to another Corps of Engineers publication, the beloved 1987 Wetlands Delineation Manual. It gives saturation duration requirements and compares it to wetlands, as shown here. So to start off, if you're saturating for less than 5% of the growing season, about 12 days, these areas are not going to be wetlands. If your saturation duration is 5 to 12% of the growing season, many of these areas will still not be wetlands. So it doesn't sound like we want anything less than 12.5%. But if you get above 12.5%, almost all of these areas are going to be wetlands. And this is a saturation duration of around 31 to 62 days. So the sweet spot for restoration would look like it's around 12.5% of the growing season. Well, we wanted to see how well that compared with some natural plant communities in North Carolina. And here are data that were published in 2012 for saturation estimates for four plant communities across three natural wetlands in North Carolina. Pete Caldwell calibrated a model over a three-year period to simulate water table levels, and then using historic rainfall data, he computed or modeled the water table levels over a 40-year period. They plant communities, and Lee, I'm going to have to burn a hole through your head here.
Don't do that.
Yeah. There are four plant communities we looked at as shown here. The second column is the mean of the all the wells for that plant community. And as you can see that for the palm pine woodland, that plant community is associated with about saturation lasting 50% of the growing season. Fairly broad range. One well was saturated for 10% of the growing season, another 83. Again, this 50% is the mean of six wells. High Pocosin saturating for 87% of the growing season. Bay Forest, 90% of the growing season. Non-riverine swamp forest, 94% of the growing season. The take-home message is that if we use a duration of saturation of 12.5%, it does not seem to be a very hard standard to meet if you're trying to restore natural plant communities. Okay, what's the current status of these EEP restoration efforts? Well, they have, to their credit, produced 114 reports and they placed them online of their restoration activities. These reports contain the hydrology data and also some rainfall data. The targeted durations for saturation ranged from 5 to 25%. So in some cases, you were using 5% as your duration and calling it a success. The rainfall data are reported generally, but not used to evaluate hydrology in detail. In other words, even if you're in a dry year or a wet year, you can still use that hydrology data. And as a result, it's very difficult for sites to fail when you more or less are not looking at rainfall conditions. Taking this a step further, here's the duration criteria that are used for these 114 sites. I've got on the x-axis percentage of the growing season, and on the y, the number of sites in each of the categories given as a percent. 25%, a duration of 25% was used for one site, probably affected by tides. The most common, I guess, would be the 12.5%, with only about 45% of the sites using that duration. About half of the sites are using durations, or were using durations of saturation, ranging from 5 to 10%. So there is some concern here, as that seems to be a little low. Well, let's talk about our proposed standard. Here's the group that I assembled to do it for North Carolina. I was the chair. We have three regulators, one from the state, two from the Corps, three hydrologists from NC State, a wetland restoration specialist, Steve Broom, as Chris mentioned earlier, and Pete Caldwell from the Forest Service, who works with the hydrology of plant communities. Our recommendations are as follows. Adequate wetland hydrology and restored or reestablished wetlands would require a water table be within 30 centimeters of the surface for a period of consecutive days. That's 12.5% or more of the growing season. And those requirements should be met following periods of normal or drier than normal rainfall. A couple of comments. That 30 centimeter depth was pulled from the Corps of Engineers wetland hydrology technical standard. It includes a zone where most of the plant roots are found, so it should have the greatest impact on the plants. If your sites are subject to flooding or ponding, then that saturation or inundation would be included in that 12.5% requirement, as long as it's during the growing season. Now, somewhat controversial, we're using the growing season as the frost-free period that is found, whose dates are found on the WETS data tables that are available online. There are six dates or combinations that you could use. We want the one with 50% probability and an air temperature of 28 degrees Fahrenheit. It, again, stems from recommendations from the Corps of Engineers. That 12.5% saturation duration is related to this frost-free period, and so the hydrologists we worked with felt this is the most appropriate way of defining the growing season for our uses. And again, the 12.5% was taken from the core documents. It is a little on the low side. Now, areas that are saturated for shorter durations, again, may not be wetlands, and so I don't see the justification in most cases for using something less than that. By state laws or our regulations, you have to monitor a restoration site for 7 years, and so you will be collecting data for a 7-year period. And if the saturation depth and duration are met for at least 4 out of the 7 years, then hydrology will be considered met at the site as long as during those 4 years the rainfall is acceptable. Now, I think you have to do an assessment year by year, and prior to that 7-year limit, of course, and I think the advantage is there that if you see a portion of your site not meeting the hydrology requirements, then there is time for modification, putting in some depressions and so on. Ah, my favorite, let's talk about rainfall. If you measure water table levels, you need to measure rainfall. Now, we want to assess normal rainfall beginning with the USDA's wet data tables. It's a range of historic monthly value. It's a range of values that were computed over a long period of time. The values are basically referred to as the 30th and 70th percentiles by month, and they were computed for individual weather station data over that 30 to 40 year period. Now, more importantly, or I think a greater point of confusion is what period of time do you use to assess normal rainfall? And I'm trying to illustrate that here. I've got, let's say, just months of the year on the x-axis and water table depth on the y. Zero is the soil surface. This is the water table curve in this particular illustration. Here is our 30 centimeter depth. You can see in this example that during the first 4 months, the water table was below 30 centimeters, but in that fifth month, it shot above the 30 centimeter depth. Now, if we want to see if this water table saturation period is occurring during normal rainfall conditions, we want to look at the 3-month period prior to when the water table rose. We want to know what the conditions were that caused the rise, not the conditions which keep it up there. And again, this is following general recommendations from the Corps of Engineers. Another thing that we tested and found to work pretty well for assessing the prior 3 months of rainfall is this table. We published this study in 2009, but basically, let's say your water table rose in April. I know it's a little complicated, but it's actually quite simple. So you're going to look at the months of March, February, and January for rainfall normality. These two columns are just the data from the WETS data table, giving the 30th and 70th percentiles. You then add measured rainfall and compare it to the WETS data. In this case, it falls in between, so it's normal. In this case, it's well outside the 70th percentile, so this would be a wet month. Now, you give it a condition value, 2 for normal, 3 for wet. You have a monthly weight, 3, 2, 1, 3 for the nearest month. You multiply these together, you get 6, 4, and 3. Add them up, it's 13. Come down here, and it says, okay, anything between 10 and 14 is normal. In this particular instance, the rainfall is considered to be normal. The high water level counts. You met wetland hydrology requirements, presumably, for that year. Okay, the next thing to do is test these ideas with real data. And that's what we're working on now, and we just want to go through one illustration. Here's an example of a wetland in North Carolina that has been monitored because it was restored. The consultant came in and put in 43 wells. I don't have a scale, but this is about 1.5 miles long, 1 mile wide, and I think it's about 750 acres. The blue well locations are along a perimeter ditch. We didn't expect those to make the wetland hydrology requirements because the ditch is kept open to avoid any hydrologic trespass. The red are where we expect it to meet the standard. Here are data from our test. This is the percentage of wells meeting the hydrology standard for the years 2006 to 2010. We look at three rainfall conditions, dry, normal, and wet. For 2006, we had 84% of the wells, primarily those in the middle, but not entirely, meeting the hydrology requirement. A little bit better in 2007, 84% in 2008. 2009, we had a wet period, so some of the wells had to be excluded, but they aren't necessarily missing it in normal years. 2010 was a dry period. We had very dry conditions at the start of the growing season, so only about half the wells ended up meeting the wetland hydrology requirement. So overall, this site looks like it's on track to have over 80% of the site meeting wetland hydrology requirements. Now, of interest is the four sites that didn't, actually the three in this case that are shown. They found in the first year that these three sites did not meet the wetland hydrology requirement, and so I would recommend going back to the site and actually adding some, checking, make sure ditches are plugged, or adding surface storage, which would be slight depressions, but somehow do something to make those sites a little bit wetter. But in summary, the wetland hydrology study standard that we have is currently being tested, as I said. It's using existing data from the restoration sites, looking at it with a different perspective. Additional modifications to our standard can be made should they be necessary. Our early testing shows that this standard is workable, but when bringing it to the attention of consultants, they are a little concerned that about the wetland boundaries. They feel that our saturation period near that edge, those blue dots in my figure, should be less than 12.5% of the growing season. I'm not convinced of that just yet, but if you have an opinion, I would certainly be happy to listen to it. With that, I want to conclude the talk and thank you for your attention.
All right. And since Mike, in his usual style, just ripped through his talk, we've gained a few minutes, and we can take a couple questions. We will have a microphone available if we have any questions for Mike. We can, and we have one down here. Yeah.
Mike, can you envision that the standard would be such that you could get away from the mandatory 7 years of hydrologic monitoring? If you meet the first 4 years of this standard, that you could perhaps throw the next three out?
In my opinion, yes. That's what I would like to see. Unfortunately, well, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, the regulations require 7 years. But I think in time, I would like to see us use the standard and the rainfall assessment, like I've said, and do an assessment in the first couple of years and get away from this long period of time that's normally needed for monitoring.
So, Mike, thank you for that very nice talk. And let's say this law or this rule gets implemented. It seems to me that there'll be people putting a lot of wells in and making a lot of measurements over 7 years. And does this mean that most wetland restoration projects will end up being large mitigation banks in terms of cost effectiveness? Or because, you know, if you're a private landowner and you want to do it yourself, you may decide, I don't want to spend all this money over 7 years to monitor it. So I'm curious where you think mitigation will go.
Well, it will go where the political winds in part blow it. And right now in North Carolina, we're a very conservative state, and it's not going very far. I think that, and that's the basic question, if a landowner is strapped for cash and doesn't want to follow all our proposed rules, you know, that's that person's decision, and I'm not really in sympathy with it. If you're going to get into the business, you're going to have some cash behind you and do a responsible job. We've got to get away from this business of just let's plug the ditches, walk away. I want assessment of these sites because, again, the state is spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on this, and as a taxpayer, I want to make sure it's well spent. We've got to start holding these wetland restoration construction companies to some pretty rigorous rules, in my opinion.
Okay, thanks a lot.